Joel chapter 2, verse number 10. The Bible says, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to give you thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord, first and foremost, for making your way up that hill and shedding your blood on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you shed your blood for me. If I was the only person here on this planet, you still would have came and you still would have died. And Lord, you look beyond that cross and you saw me and you thought I was worth it. And Lord, I don't understand it all, Lord, but I just want to thank you for it. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for daily loading us up with benefits. Lord, you really are a good God. And Lord, this morning I ask what I cannot possibly do, and that is to speak to the hearts of each and every person here this morning. Lord, would you take your word, Lord, and may it find its way into an open heart, Lord, and may it drive us to do your will. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you meet with us this morning. May you touch our hearts, Lord. May your word just become alive to us this morning, Lord. We ask all this for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. The book of Joel, very interesting book, very short book. I love the minor prophets. I love studying about the millennium and love the tribulation. All that stuff fascinates me. And in the book of Joel here, in chapter number 1, God addresses the tribe of Judah here, and he's talking about their past. And he brings up their past and what they've done and how he brought the canker worm and the locust and how he brought destruction upon them because of their sins, and he brought judgment upon them. And he brings that up and he reminds them, remember what happened. And then you come over to chapter number 2, and chapter number 2, he talks about their future. And man, chapter number 2, if you never read that, the first 10 verses there talk about the army of the Lord when he comes back, and they come back with him. And fascinating what goes on. The future there talks about a fire that devoureth before them and behind them, and a flame. I preached a message one time because I got to thinking about this army, and I was thinking, man, what made this army so great? And I got to looking at it, and I think there's three things that made this army so great. Number one is that they were in unity. The Bible says that they marched in their ranks. And you know, I got to thinking about that, and I thought about our church. Man, how great would our church be if we could just be in unity? Not just in unity, but united together behind the cause of Christ. I mean, didn't David say it well, how great it is that the brethren dwell together in unity? It's like the oil that's been poured over the head of Aaron and ran down his beard and ran down his garments. And I think there's something that touches God's heart when he sees people that are united together and love the Lord. I mean, it works together in a family, it works together in a government, it works together in a church. When we're all united together. And then, I think they were great because they were on fire. It says they were on fire. Fire went before them, fire went behind them. I thought, man, how great would our church be if we just got on fire? I mean, if we just got, you know, I got to, and this isn't my message, but I got to thinking about fires in the Bible. You know, God is a consuming fire. God is a fire. There's a good fire. There's a bad fire. The devil has a fire. And he has a strange fire, the Bible says. And when I think of fire, I think of passion. I think of emotion. Remember the two that walked down the Emmaus Road and Jesus appeared to them and he said, why are you so troubled? And they said, have not you heard? And then remember Jesus went beginning at Moses and the prophets and expounded and explained all things to him. And then they broke bread and they realized it was Jesus Christ that they were talking to. And then he vanished out of their sight. And then they made a statement. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? I mean, that's the right kind of fire to have right there. I mean, we should be stirred up about God's things. Our hearts should burn within us. The devil, he wants you to get passionate about the wrong kind of things. He has fiery darts that he throws at you. He wants to get you passionate about, he wants you to be angry. He wants you to be upset. He wants you to lust after things. I mean, he wants to get your emotions going and your soul going a wrong way. But God wants you stirred up about his things. And man, wouldn't it be great if this church was just on fire? Amen. And then the last thing that made this army so great is verse number 11. It says, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. Man, if we could just execute God's word, if we could just do what the Bible says, you realize this book right here dictates every area of my life. Right. I mean, it tells me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. Right. It tells me not only what I should do and shouldn't do, but it tells me how I should think. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalted itself against the name of God. I mean, it dictates to me how I should think. Amen. Not only that, it tells me how I should feel. You know, I don't feel like praying for my enemies. I especially don't feel like praying for those who despitefully use me. But this book here tells me I should do that. I should bring their names to the Lord. I should pray for them. I should help them. I should do good to them. It tells me how to be a good son. It tells me how to be a good father. It tells me how to be a good citizen. It tells me how to be a good Christian. It dictates every area of my life. And oh, if we could just execute God's word. If we could just do what this book says. Just think of how great this church would be. So, Joel chapter number 1, he reminds them of their past. Joel chapter number 2, he reminds them of their future. And then, in verse number 12, he talks about right now. Here's your past. Here's your future. By the way, we've all had a past. We all had a past where God's judgment was upon us. Yes, and we all have a future. Hey, one day we're going to be marching with this army. Yes, let's talk about right now. Let's talk about right now. Look what it says in verse number 12. It says, therefore also now. We're going to talk about right now, saith the Lord. He says, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. I want to talk this morning about repentance. Repentance. You know, there's a lot of, it's a buzzword today, repentance. What does it mean? Well, I can tell you this. Conviction is not repentance. Right. And just because you're convicted of something does not mean you've repented over anything. Confession is not repentance. You know, I have guys all the time, because I work with the homeless and people struggling with addictions, and I have a guy once in a while that'll raise his hand and say, can you pray for me? I'm struggling with smoking. And I'm thinking, what do you want God to do? I mean, he's already done his part. He's convicted you. You know it's wrong. I mean, what do you want him to do? You want him to give him cancer in your arm so you can't lift the cigarette up anymore? I mean, he's done his part. Now it's your part. Right. To do what he said. Right. To do what he's touched your heart about. Repentance. You know, at the heart of the problem, there's a problem with the heart. I mean, That's what it's all about with man. We have a heart problem. We have a heart problem. He says in verse number 12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart." You know, a lot of people go through the motions. A lot of people have rituals that they perform, and it just becomes a habit of what they do. The Jews, they would put on sackcloth and sit in ashes, and that was an outward display of what was going on inside the heart. And it was a public display, and they would let everybody know that I'm mourning, I'm grieving, or I'm hurt and I'm broken. And so they would wear the sackcloth and they would sit in these ashes, and that was a good thing. But over time, it just became a ritual. And over time, they would hire people to wear sackcloth and ashes and come to funerals and wail and stuff. And it just, it lost what it meant. And God looked at these people and he said, "Listen, I want you to rend your hearts and not your garments." In other words, what God was saying was, "Listen, I'm not interested in your rituals. I'm interested in what's going on in your heart." And we do the same thing. "Well, I went to church. I passed out so many tracts. I went door to door. I work on a bus route. A multitude of tracts covers sins," right? We go through the motions. We go through the rituals. And our heart keeps growing colder and colder towards the things of God. God's not interested in the ritual. He's interested in your heart. The heart is what controls us. It's like the control room. When the Bible talks about the heart, he's talking about who you are. It's your soul. He says the heart has to be rent. Sometimes it's so difficult to preach to people because us preachers are trying to preach to the heart, and the heart is so cluttered with the things of the world that we got a mess of stuff to go through before we can actually get to the heart. I mean, we've just filled up on everything. You know, the devil, he found out this tactic: if he could just keep us busy,
yes, sir,
he can keep us cold.
That's right.
I mean, busy doing good things. Just here's another ritual. Here's another ritual. Here's another ritual. But what's going on in our heart? The heart is what controls us. It's our emotions. It's also the significance of the heart. It's where relationships are formed. Romans chapter 10, verse number 10, it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Our relationship with God comes from the heart. Me and my cousin were talking the other night. He's a pastor down in Florida. And he said, "Man, I don't get it. You know, why God uses me. Why God uses you. I mean, there's these other preachers, and they're cookie cutter preachers, and they've went through everything, but I don't know. What's so special about me? I haven't done anything." I said, "Man, I know what it is. It's the heart. It's the heart. I mean, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart. That means like upkeep. Like you upkeep a garden. You got to work at this thing. You got to continuously, I mean, you got to be in it. You got to make sure that your heart is tender, that your heart is right. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, continually working on it, for out of it are the issues of life." Do you realize every single issue of life comes from the heart? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26 says this, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. God wants your heart. That's what he's interested in. He wants your heart. And then he says, and let thine eyes observe mine ways. Well, how can my eyes observe God's ways? Right here. In an old 1611 King James Bible. My eyes can observe God's ways. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations that he said that my eye affecteth my heart. And it's true. Your eye affects your heart. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. Man, we need to read it. We need to study it. We need to meditate on it. We need to memorize it. And we need to do what it says. The more you read it, the more you get into it, the more it affects your heart. And God wants your heart. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's a good screensaver for you. That's a good thing to sit above your television there. Why'd he say that? Because he knows that my eyes affects my heart. And God wants our heart. We need to stand guard over our heart. I mean, man, I'm very careful what comes into our home. I'm very careful about the music I listen to. I'm very careful about the people I hang out with and the conversations that are being had. I remember I was having devotions one night, and I had my girls, and we got to the story of the Witch of Endor in 1 Samuel. And I got to the story, and I announced the title, and my daughter Victoria, she said, oh, this is going to be good. I was like, well, I got to really ham this thing up. So I went on to tell her that witches are bad. And she said, oh, no, Daddy, not all witches are bad. I said, oh, yes, they are. And she named some cartoon show that she's watching and said that not all witches are bad. I thought, man, we had the guard up. I thought, man, I was filtering stuff that comes into my home. I thought, man, the devil got to her. We got to be careful. We got to be careful what influences our heart, what comes into our eye gate and our ear gate. And we got to be diligent about this thing because God wants our heart. God wants to use you. God wants to fill you. God wants you to be a testimony of his grace. But the first thing you have to do is give him your heart. And then he says this. He says, turn unto the Lord. That's repentance right there. Verse number 12, he says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Turn. That's the very definition of repentance. And that has to do with the mind. You know, you can't change your heart. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? I can't give God my heart because I don't even know my own heart. You can't change your heart, and God won't change your mind. He's not going to change your mind for you. And when I mean change my mind, I mean make up my mind. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made up his mind about something. God's not going to do that for you. He's not going to mess with your mind. He's made us creatures of free will. We have the choice. You can't change your heart. God won't change your mind. But when you change your mind, God will change your heart. God will change it. God will do something that you can't do. He'll change your heart. You know, the first thing to go in a relationship is the mind, not the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind controls the heart. The battle today is over the mind. Oh man, the devil wants your mind. The devil is unleashing an all-out war on our minds. He's doing it through media. He's doing it through music. He's doing it through religion. He's doing it through propaganda. He wants your mind. The mind has got to be renewed. If the devil can get in your mind, he's got your heart. He's got your affections. He's got your body. He's got you. That's why it's so important not to be playing with things that will influence your mind. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 27, it says this: "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge." That's a pretty strong statement. Anything that's contrary to this word right here, he says to get away from it. Cease. That's books you read. That's programs that you watch. That's social media that you're involved in. Anything that'll cause your mind to err from the words of truth. Here's another powerful verse, and this is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God." You realize you could be saved and be carnally minded?
Yes, sir.
The devil doesn't want you to use your mind. That's why I think he's given us calculators and computers. And I mean, remember the day when they had to count change out to you? We had the hurricane come through Florida, man. It messed everybody up, and all the computers are down. When I was in Hawaii, one of the pastors over there, his daughter was telling me this story. She went through Dairy Queen, and she said, "Hey, can you just put an extra scoop of ice cream on my ice cream cone?" And he said, "Oh, I can't do that." And she said, "Well, I don't care. I'll pay you whatever. Just I want two scoops on there." And he's like, "Well, I can't because there's no button for it." I mean, the devil, he is not wanting us using our minds. He just wants us just in robot mode. He just wants to pull the strings and operate us. God wants our minds engaged. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God wants us, our minds, to be engaged. Hey, you want to be approved of God? You must study His word. You know what? When you study the Bible, you become a free thinker.
Yes, sir.
You step outside of the box. You step into the light. And what the devil doesn't want, what the world doesn't want, is for you to be a free thinker. But that's what God makes you. Free. When you get into His word. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make sure my family serves the Lord. I'm going to have daily devotions. I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to make sure I'm at church every time the doors are open. I'm just going to make up my mind about some things. And God says, "Okay, I'm going to change your heart about some things too." So first you have your heart that God wants. And He says, "Give me thine heart," but you can't give it to Him until you make up your mind. Once you've made up your mind and you've given God your heart, look what it says here. It says in verse number 15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch of the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" Gather the people together. Gather the assembly together. Sanctify the congregation. Now you're doing something with your body. Listen, your mind controls your heart, and your heart controls your body. You know what God wants from you? Your body. He'll never get your body until you give him your heart. He'll never get your heart until you've made up your mind. He told us in the book of Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your bodies. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit, and he's looking for a body. He wants to operate your body. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to operate your body.
Right.
The battle's up here. Am I going to let God have my body, or am I going to let the devil have my body? And the devil, he's pretty sneaky and sly, and he says, well, I'll give you a third option. You can have your body. You just do whatever you want to do. As a matter of fact, in the satanic Bible, they said the Bible has 10 commandments, we only have one, and that is do what thy will. Do whatever you want to do. This is the whole of the law. That's in the satanic Bible. You just do whatever you want to do. That's the devil's message to you. The Wiccan creed is do what thou wilt, harm no one. In other words, just do whatever you want to do as long as you don't hurt anybody else. I mean, that is the message from the devil, and it's been pumped into us since we were little kids. Hey, you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up. Hey, you just follow your heart. Hey, obey your thirst. Have it your way, right away. I mean, over and over and over again, that message has been pumped into us. How many of you ever watched The Wizard of Oz? I might be going over my time here a little bit. Let me just tell this. Wizard of Oz. Remember Dorothy and she meets all the... It's actually a very satanic movie. The guy who wrote it, his name was Brahm. He wrote 13 books on it. And all the proceeds that came from those books, he donated to Madame Blavatsky, who started the Luciferian Trust. I mean, this guy, this is a comment he made. He said, I wish that there was more children's books written on the occult. We've all seen the movie. It's a story about Dorothy. She's a girl from Kansas. She goes over the rainbow. It's actually a parody on the Christian life. A southern girl, she goes over the rainbow to the other side, heaven. When she gets there, she's walking on a yellow brick road. What are you going to walk on when you get to heaven? Streets of gold. And she kills the wicked witch, or she kills the witch. The good fairy tells her, you know, you got to follow the yellow brick road. So she's going. She's being led by her dog Toto. That's the Holy Spirit. See how blasphemous this is? She's being led. The Holy Spirit's a dog. She meets three friends on the way. The Tin Man, he has no brain. He has no mind. She meets the Scarecrow. The Tin Man, he has no heart. The Scarecrow, he has no mind. The Lion, remember, he has no courage, no heart. What does the Bible say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy strength. So they follow the yellow brick road. They get to the Emerald City. Man, read Revelation chapter 4. Emerald rainbow, jasper walls. They get there and they knock on the door. They're trying to find the wizard who's supposed to be God. They find him, and he's very rude, very mean. Nobody you want to be friends with. And he says, okay, go and give me the Wicked Witch's broom, and I'll help you out. So they go and they get the broom. They throw water on her. She's supposed to be the devil, and she has all these henchmen that are, I mean, she's not that bad, you know. They throw water on her. She melts. Isn't that how we destroy the devil? The washing of the word? The water of the word? They get a broom, they go back to the wizard, they find out he's just a fraud, he's just a phony, he's just a guy behind the curtains throwing the switch. He's not even real. And he steps out and he says to the Scarecrow, you always had the mind. You didn't need me. He tells the Tin Man, you always had the heart. You didn't need me. He tells the lion, you always had the strength and the courage. You didn't need me. That's secular humanism. That's the message of the devil.
Right.
You don't need God. I mean, that's what was he told Adam and Eve in the garden. Ye shall be as gods. You just do whatever you want to do.
Right.
God says, give me your heart. Make up your mind. Give me your body. And the devil says, give me your body. Give me your heart. Where are you at today? Where's your heart at today? Have you made up your mind? What are you doing with your body? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, you do something in our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that we make up our minds. And when we stand before you one day, that we've done what you've told us to do. And we stand with our heads held high and hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Lord, may we not be standing there ashamed with a wasted life. Lord, I ask all this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.